Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com. Hi, ladies. This is Monica Sawyer with Real Estate Investing for Women and blissfulinvestor.com. And today we are doing another journal entry on starting something new. And I'd like to start today's journal entry with a story. When I was 16, I was living in India as a foreign exchange student, and there was something that really struck me and completely changed my life and my outlook. I was from California, right? I was an American girl, and so I was kind of used to the way that we get treated here, and I was really struck and hurt by the way that women were treated in India. They were really treated like objects. They were little baby machines. They got married off early. They got burned when their husbands died. I mean, there were horrible, horrible things that were done to women in India. And as a young woman, I couldn't fathom that. And then once I was faced with it, it just completely broke my heart. So I was immediately inspired to try to improve that situation. Like, how can one 16-year-old girl improve a situation like that? But I knew that at least I could make a tiny little impact. I had to do something, right? So I started to do some studying. And what I realized was that the single biggest differentiator between women who are free or more independent is education. And that's one of the things that we have a huge advantage of here in the United States is we've got free public education. It's so interesting to me how few people really appreciate that. You don't really know what you've got until you see what other people are living without. In India, they have a quote-unquote public education system, but the teachers don't show up. The children are malnourished. The food that comes in from the government is usually distributed to the teachers' families rather than to the children. They don't have books. They don't have resources. They don't have pencils. A lot of times you'll see in India people begging on the street for pencils and pens or notebooks because they don't have any of those resources. Often they don't even have chairs. So they're all sitting in the mud. Like there's a little hut, they're sitting in the mud. There's not even a ground. There's not even, you know, like a mat, right? So public education in India, the free public education is very different than what it looks like here, right? So the only way to really help to get women educated was to do private schools. And private schools, again, look very different there than they look here. But the basic bottom line is to get money to these girls so that they could get educated. Usually, a family will not send their girls to get educated for a variety of reasons. First, they need help in the house. They'll send the boys first because the boys are more likely to be able to get jobs. So they won't send the girls. The boys also, when they get married, they stay with their parents. So the money stays inside the family. Once a girl gets married, there's a couple of things that happen. First of all, and this is not as true now, but it was definitely true then, the family has to pay a dowry to get a good husband. So they basically pay off some family to take their daughter, and then the daughter goes and lives there. So all the money leaves the house. So there's no real benefit to educating their daughters. This is a really backward way of thinking, but it's really ingrained in the tradition of how society works in India. So the education of girls is never a priority for parents. They're certainly not going to pay for it, right? Anyway, so I realized that in order for women to know what they're missing and to have any hope of creating any level of freedom, we needed to educate them. The other thing that I realized is you cannot do this if it's just men against women. The men need to be educated from a very young age also that women are being treated like equals, because otherwise it just becomes a war. And because it was such a patriarchal society, the men would win. They had the power, right? So you needed to train the men to respect women also. Anyway, at the age of 16, I started donating $5 a month to a school that was focused on the education of girls. So it was a co-ed school, but they were educating the boys and the girls. So the boys were educated to treat women as equal or girls as equals. And the girls were allowed to come to school. There were scholarships so that their families didn't have to pay. So that's how a journey began for me to uplift and empower women. This started when I was 16. So now you kind of understand why I have this podcast, why I'm so passionate about helping you ladies to be financially empowered and uplifted, because education is the first thing, finances is the next. If a woman doesn't know how to manage her money, if she doesn't have money and she's completely dependent on men for the distribution and control of money, she then is dependent again on men. So for me, this wealth piece is really about empowering and uplifting women to create the freedom so they can make choices. I used to always say to people, I'm not going to marry a man because I have to. I'm going to marry a man because I want to. And so the not having to had to do with being financially independent, emotionally independent, mentally independent, and educated. So I got those things for myself. And that's why I really want to help empower you ladies to create financial independence. So this journey, this mission started for me when I was 16. Okay, so now fast forward, right? I've been doing my podcast. I've been kind of out there. I wrote a new book called Choose Bliss. And I got discovered on TV by a lot of different people. And one particular woman was starting up an organization that she was trying to help to finance women-owned businesses. So kind of like Shark Tank, but where Shark Tank mostly focuses on male-owned businesses, there's a small percentage that are women, but it's mostly male-owned businesses. She really wanted to focus on helping to empower women-owned businesses. So she called me, asked if I was interested. There was a whole series of things that happened as far as like, where will I fit? What kind of role can I play? That sort of thing. But recently, the dust has settled. They started a foundation and they asked me to be on the board. Now, I've been asked to be on boards many times before. I've always said no. But this particular, I've watched them for the last 3 years and kind of what they're trying to do and who they're funding. And I just couldn't resist. I said, yes. So if you want to find out a little bit more about them, it's sheangelsfoundation.org, right? It's an organization. So sheangelsfoundation.org. Anyway, so I became a part of this board. Now, I had no idea what I was getting into. And that's what this journal is about. It's about when you feel like you're in over your head, which is exactly what happened for me. So we had our very first board meeting where everybody is kind of trying to get to know each other. We're setting up our committees, you know, and who's going to be responsible for what, who's going to be doing what. So we have this first meeting and we're doing it on Zoom. And I get on this Zoom call. And so just a little bit of background, I haven't watched television for about 27 years. I watch like really important things, like I watch 9/11. I often will watch presidential stuff. So that sort of thing, like I'll watch those things, but I don't watch the news and I don't watch television. So I don't have a lot of idea on pop culture and this sort of thing. Anyway, so I get on this Zoom call and I don't recognize anybody. And then they all start introducing themselves. And there's 12 of us ladies on the call. And we're all women on the board, by the way. So that was pretty amazing too. So there's 12 of us women on the board. And I am going to be introducing myself like at number 6 or something. So I'm listening to these women talk. This is all started in Hollywood, by the way. So it's an LA community. There's a movie producer. There's several television producers. There's a woman who runs a multi-million dollar foundation already all around the world. There's a woman that runs a voiceover company and makes, you know, it's a multi-million dollar company. Anyway, so you get the idea. These are really high-powered women. And as they're introducing themselves, they're saying, oh, and this is what I'm really skilled at. And this is what I'm really skilled at. And this is what I bring to the board. And this is what committee I think I would like to be on. And I got completely overwhelmed. because they told us we were going to have a 30-second intro. Nobody took 30 seconds about, except me, right? Because I'm kind of like the person that's that really followed the rules. Here's a tip. To be really, really, really powerful, you make the rules, you don't follow the rules. So anyways, but I'm kind of a rule follower. So I like have my 30-second pitch put together, but everybody else took a little bit more time. Anyways, so I'm not sure whether I'm here or there about, with that, because I think with in a situation like this, there is also the element of respecting time, respecting each other, right? Stuff, you can't run an organization without any rules. So there's a level of breaking the rules. There's a level of sticking with them. There's some balance, right? So anyway, so that's something I needed to learn, and I'm continuing to try to learn. But here I was in this situation with these really, really powerful women. And I thought, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I am so in over my head. There are these people that had won Emmy Awards. They had won international giving awards for their foundations. And there was just me. You know, I've been involved in the foundation of a school in India. So I started with donating in my life path. I ended up being part of a founding of a school in India for boys and girls. It's co-ed with scholarships to the girls. So I helped with the foundation of that. I've been very heavily involved with that. But that's as much as I've done. They asked me to be on the board and I did not want to be on it because it was an international board. It was too complicated for me. So now here I am with all these people. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And the thought was, oh my gosh, I'm totally in over my head. Like, what if I don't bring anything to the table? So can you ladies relate to this, right? Maybe you're looking at investing in some real estate or something else in your life, right? And you feel totally in over your head, totally like you don't know what you're doing. You don't have enough resources. You don't know enough. You know, and then if you do something, what if something goes wrong? You know, like there's all this stuff that happens. And I was sitting here thinking that, like, I'm in over my head. Oh my gosh, what did I do? And I got a little shell-shocked, right? So when the call ended, I was like, oh gosh, maybe I made a huge mistake. And they're putting together a committee, so I don't know what I'm going to be doing. But I really sat with myself after that. And I thought, there have been so many times when I have felt in over my head, right? Every single time I start a new real estate project, every single time, like when I started my podcast, right? Every time I start any project, I have this feeling of being in over my head. And what I really, really got for myself in this particular situation of being reminded of that feeling and being so overwhelmed by it was that, you know, in life, there are plateaus. But to get to each of those plateaus, you have to climb a ladder, right? So you climb, I call it a ladder rather than steps. You can look at it however you want, but you climb the ladder, you go up those rungs, you get to another plateau. And then you look around and you find another ladder. You find another ladder that you want to go up and you climb that one, and then you get to another plateau. And those plateaus are where we're comfortable. But it's in climbing the rungs of the ladder that we grow and we experience so much more and true success comes. It's scary though, right? Because it's a ladder. So it's a little bit unstable. There's a lot to hold on to. There's a lot of more rungs above us, right? Often we can't see the top. Like, where are we going to reach, right? So it's scary. But if you don't start, you'll never get to that next level, to that next plateau. And what I realized is that with this foundation, it's an opportunity for me personally and my goal of helping the world and helping women specifically. It's another level for me to climb to. It's another ladder that will expand my reach and my ability to reach women and empower them financially to reach freedom. It allows me to bring more to you guys, right? Because then I have more depth and wisdom within myself. So I've decided that I'm going to stay on the board. I was so honored to be invited and to be hanging out with these amazing women. But what I really want to share with you ladies today and what I want you to take away from this is I know investing in real estate can seem intimidating and overwhelming. I know that if there's something you already know how to do in real estate, it's hard to think about how to expand that, scale that, or try something different. I know that that's true in real estate, and I know that that's true in life. And so this journal entry is really to inspire you to understand that when you're looking at something that feels scary, you're on a plateau and you're staring at a ladder. What do you want to do with that ladder? You don't have to climb it. There are lots of ladders, lots of opportunities, right? But if that ladder is aligned with your dreams, your goals, your resources, emotional resources, right? Your time resources, your big why, and your core values, step onto that first rung. Take a step. Start climbing that ladder and see where it takes you. Because we don't expand our lives. We don't expand our finances. We don't expand our bliss unless we climb those ladders. As long as they're aligned with us, aligned with our core values, aligned with all of those things I mentioned. As long as they're aligned. Like I said, there's many ladders. You can climb many of them. Climb one that furthers your bliss. And that's what I've chosen to do with this new foundation. So anyways, I hope that was helpful. And I hope that gave you some insights in kind of a new perspective on how to look at opportunity. I will see you soon. And always remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.